just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 67 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton. I'm excited to be here giving all the wonderful Devy and C2C information to you, our listeners. Thank you so much. I am coming at you from Eagan, Minnesota, where it is a balmy 45 degrees and sunny. I'm not kidding. I have two neighbors sitting out in lawn chairs enjoying the warmth, because that's what it's like when 2 weeks ago it was literally 65 degrees colder. But enough about the weather. I need to introduce my co-host, my friend and yours, from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. That North Carolina was good this time. You got a little grunt in it. I liked it.
I got a little excited. Got a little more into that one.
I had to turn my headphones down a little bit. I told you before the show, I finally got my headphones working. I had it set too high. I gotta figure out my deafness here real quick. I'm doing good, man. I'm not nearly as warm as you are. I don't know if hell is frozen over, but I know that North Carolina most certainly has. It is 20 degrees outside and rainy and dreary, so there was certainly no place I'd rather be than sitting in here doing this podcast with you.
Yeah, that sounds miserable. And It's days like this where spring fever really starts to set in, and we just need to remind ourselves up in Minnesota that the snowiest month of our year is always March. So it's a tease, right? It starts teasing you with the nicer weather. You start, you know, feeling the itch. Everybody's out doing outdoor activities, and then we're literally scheduled to get like 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight. But next weekend they're talking mid-40s again, so... the end of winter is coming, my friend.
So like Sam and Frodo and the Hobbit, how they had second and third breakfast, you guys have second and third winter up there in Minnesota.
right, exactly. I love that part. What about second breakfast? I don't think he knows about second breakfast. So there's not a whole lot of news, so we'll just get right into a trade review that is an interesting one. You threw this one on the show sheet. 12-team Superflex Devy, of course. Spencer Rattler and Isaiah Spiller on one side for Keaton Slovis and Najee Harris. And you want to know which side I have, because I'm assuming that this is one of your trades in one of the rare leagues that you're still in.
It is indeed one of my trades. It was a trade that I did with John Helkamp. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I don't exactly know how you pronounce it. But me and him did a trade in one of his Devy leagues. And this was one from that Devy league. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it.
So this is what I would initially call a really fair trade. You know, like if you threw this one out on Twitter and you're just getting... you know, Devy feedback, you know, because I don't think you're going to get a lot of, you know, non-Devy people voting on college players. But I think this would be pretty close to an even split. You might get as high as 60-40, maybe. And I think the side that I'm going to say that I would prefer is the side that would probably win. And I'll give you my reasons why. I like Spencer Rattler better than Keaton Slovis. So I think his ceiling is higher. And I think he's got the better opportunity to be, you know, a hit. You know, like we talk about, you know, players hitting in college, or I'm sorry, in the NFL. I think he's got, you know, that higher ceiling. So I prefer that side of the quarterbacks. When you compare the running backs to me, there is no comparison to this. I mean, I love Najee Harris. And in a Devy league, if I can get that top running back where he's already entering the NFL and he's expected to be, the number one running back taken, or if not, maybe the number two, that's the side I'm leaning on. It's like, I'll take the immediate production and I'm still getting a good quarterback prospect. So that is the side that I am on, where I know how much you love your guy Rattler. So I guess I'm kind of assuming that you're on the Rattler side.
Normally I would normally be on the Rattler side, but if you can believe it, I'm actually on the Keaton Slovis and Najee Harris side of this trade. I gave away a share of Spencer Rattler, which that I covet so intensely. But I mean, when you look at it, my running backs in this league, I had at the time Cam Akers, and I think my RB2 was Aaron Jones, who we have an uncertain situation with him. And then after that, I had nobody. I had zero running back depth behind them. So to get the RB1 in this class a year early, I mean, you look at, we talk about Journey Brown all the time on the show. And Devy assets, while they're great, they're so unpredictable. I mean, Journey Brown was going to be one of the top running backs in this class. A year removed, he's not even playing football anymore. So, I mean, if I could get that guy a year early, he's going to get the draft capital. He's the best running back in this class. And I'm not getting too bad of a drop-off between Spencer Rattler and Keaton Slovis. I mean, Keaton Slovis had a bad year, but he's still a phenomenal quarterback prospect. I love that side of the trade for me.
Yeah, I think you did really well there. I don't see a scenario where, Najee Harris's, value doesn't hold or even improve. I mean, I suppose obviously it's possible if he's a total bust or if he gets hurt, but the odds are, he's going to get the high draft capital. He's going to get every opportunity. He's going to look good, and you're going to love that, and he's going to become more valuable. So yeah, well done. And I think the lesson here in trading is, even though you have your guys, your favorites, the guys you love, you can't be afraid to give them up when you're trying to acquire, other players. And, when you're trying to acquire good players, I heard this on one of my favorite pods, Trade Addicts podcast. It takes good players to get good players. You can't, no one's going to sell you a good player for nothing, or for I love those 3-for-1s where they give you 3 like mediocre to crappy assets for 1 really good player. It's like, I don't think it works that way.
But the depth, Skip. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And to that point, I was going to tell you about this pre-show, but I wanted to get your reaction on the show. I had another trade. I don't have all the exact details in front of me, but I just wanted to let you know that in this same league, I had the chance to go out and get myself one more share of Tank Bigsby. And wouldn't you know it, I turned down that share of Tank Bigsby and instead got myself a share of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, I love that. I'm a huge fan of Gibbs. I think that the pass catching is going to prove to be really valuable. We've seen that in leagues, especially PPR, that you really can't make up for the pass catching stats that you get from these receiving backs. One other thing that I'll mention before we get into our topic is, now that it's rookie season and everyone's talking draft, that's what a lot of the podcasts are on. And so you hear a lot of this stuff. And one of my favorite guys out there is Zach Reed, Tacit Assassin 13. He's such an awesome, film guy and he does a great job of just evaluating talent. And he brought up a great point when it comes to running backs and how you really need to push up the value of these pass catching backs. And he said, that Derrick Henry had, one of the best seasons running the football in the history of the NFL. I mean, 2,000 yards. I don't know if he was third highest or fourth highest or wherever, right? Somewhere in the top 5. And he still finished significantly behind, the pass catching backs. Alvin Kamara from the Saints is the one that he brought up. He goes, even if you take away Kamara's, 6 touchdown performance against my Vikings, he still got outscored by him. And that's because you when a guy's catching the ball that many times, I mean, it's just, those points are so hard to make up that, it really negates the significant yardage advantage that Henry had. So,
something to
keep in mind.
if you're a guy that rushes for a ton of yards, you know, that's great, but you almost have to have the touchdown equity to keep up with some of these pass catchers. I mean, you've got to be scoring touchdowns or else. I mean, that's why guys, like, for example, in the past, like your Deion Lewis's, I mean, your Alvin Kamara's, yes, but your small-time guys, your Austin Eckler's, do so well in fantasy footballs because they catch these passes. So, I mean, you can't put a price tag on that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, and it's simple math, right? In most scoring leagues, I mean, every catch is worth 10 yards. I mean, 1-to-1, right? So, all right, let's get into our topic for today. We're going to keep going with the 2023 class. This time we're going to talk about quarterbacks, the last year's freshman quarterback review. This one should go a little bit faster because, like we've mentioned before, the hit rate on quarterbacks isn't the same, isn't as great as running backs and wide receivers. So you get a lot, you know, fewer guys to talk about that actually played. And that's something that everyone out there needs to keep in mind when they're looking at these guys. But, you know, number one on the list, the number one overall rated prospect was Bryce Young, Alabama. We didn't see him. So, you know, we can't say, you know, what do you think about this guy, you know, playing in college, but he is expected to be the starting quarterback, 5-star recruit, so an awesome, awesome prospect. I'm not moving him down my rankings at all because he didn't play. You know, what are your thoughts on Bryce Young?
Yeah, we got to see him in limited snaps. I think he passed. He came in and mop up duty a few games. He had to bide his time behind Mac Jones while Mac Jones had that stellar season. So it's now Bryce Young's time. I'm holding steady on him. He is not moving outside my top two quarterbacks in this class. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, the skills that he had, you know, we made fun of Shaq. Shout out to Shaq. You know, we always shout you out on this pod. Now's your time, buddy. He pointed out that Bryce Young reminded him a little bit of Patrick Mahomes and his play style. And, you know, we roasted him a little bit for that. But when you look at his tape, you know, you can see it. His mobility in the pocket, his throwing off balance, his arm strength and ball placement, his accuracy. I mean, all stuff to love about Bryce Young. He's an athletic quarterback. I think he's going to be a better prospect in my eyes than Tua Tagovailoa was in that offense coming out of Alabama. So I'm excited to see Bryce Young.
Yeah, I agree. You know, in Shaq's comparison, you know, he definitely knew he was going a little aggressive with it, but the traits that he was referring to, you can see that when you're watching the film. He's very creative, and he just makes plays out of nothing. He's got that quick release, and you know he can move in the pocket. So the nice thing about Young is he's not just going to get you what should be really good stats, you know, passing, but he's going to get you some points with his legs too. So you really got to like this kid's, you know, expected future. And yeah, he should be, you know, he's in everybody's top five, you know, for sure. If you're, you know, starting over at quarterback rankings, second one on the list, my personal number one, you know, from Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, another 5-star, you know, this kid has, you know, has it all. He's not going to get you, you know, ridiculous, absurd points rushing, but he can run. I mean, he is mobile, but the arm is the best in football, in my opinion, and it's not even close. I mean, this kid, when he throws the ball, it just pops out of there. Like, it's like, boom, gone. And it gets where he wants it to go in a hurry, and he is accurate. And I love him. I honestly, if I'm in a startup and I have the number one pick in like a campus to campus startup on the college side, I'm probably taking him number one overall.
I can't argue with that. I mean, yeah, you mentioned his arm strength. I mean, he's got that Uncle Rico arm. I mean, toss it over a mountain. I mean, just launch it 60 yards downfield. So there's nothing not to like about his arm. He's got all the arm talent in the world. He's mobile for his size. I mean, he's not going to get you 70 yards rushing, but he can pound you in a rushing touchdown here and there because, I mean, his frame, his body, the way he's built, I mean, he's a big boy. So, I mean, he's going to get you those rushing touchdowns occasionally. What I really liked about him that we didn't really get to see much in his high school recruitment film that we definitely got to see whenever Trevor Lawrence was out this year, it's just his calmness. And, I mean, he's cool, calm, and collect in the pocket. I mean, when he came in and in starting duty against Notre Dame, you know, whenever Trevor Lawrence went down, he did not look like a freshman. I mean, he looked like a poised professional quarterback at 18, 19 years old, however old he is. So, I mean, his poise, his pocket presence is near elite.
Yeah, he's big, you know, 6'4", 245. He ran in, you know, 4 touchdowns just in the limited time that he had. He threw for 5, didn't throw any picks. So I think this kid's ceiling is as high as it can be. So, yeah, love him. He's my number one. Now we start getting into the guys where not many of them have played. And so it's really just kind of talking about the opportunity. And the next one is your guy, Ohio State, C.J. Stroud. Tell us, you know, where do you have C.J. Stroud, and what do you think people can expect from him? Because he's in a unique situation in that they keep recruiting these highly recruited quarterbacks and getting them to sign. So is he guaranteed the job? I mean, what, you know, that's the risk there.
I'm not worried about him not keeping that job. I mean, they showed that when somebody had to come in and play for Justin Fields, C.J. Stroud was the guy that got chosen. So I'm not worried about him losing snaps. I think he's going to come into training camp as the starting quarterback. I'm going to make a bold statement here, Skip. We've already went bold talking about Patrick Mahomes as Bryce Young. So I'm gonna stick with the theme of the show, I guess. And C.J. Stroud is a dark horse Heisman candidate for me this year. I mean, there's nothing that I don't like about C.J. Stroud. He doesn't have the arm talent or the arm strength that G.J. Uiagalelei has. He's still got a pretty good arm. He doesn't have the improvisation skills that Bryce Young has. He's still a mobile quarterback. And what he has that Clemson or Alabama don't have as of right now is the best receiving core in all of college football. He's getting Garrett Wilson. He's getting the big three freshmen that we talked about last week. And he's getting Chris Olave coming back. Not to mention he's getting Emeka Egbuka, the number one receiver in his class, coming in this year. So he's got weapons out the butt coming into the gate. I mean, I love C.J. Stroud's arm talent. What I really like about him is his work ethic. He came from Rancho Cucamonga. His work ethic is next level. I mean, he gets out there early. He's a leave late type of guy. He's working on throwing the ball, being accurate, hitting the goalpost. He's working on his footwork drills. I mean, he's a hard worker, and I think that's going to pay off for him this year. They're getting a running game coming in this year with freshman running back Travion Henderson that we'll talk about somewhere down the road. I love him too as well. We've talked about it off air how much we love him. But they're going to have a running game now. They're going to have the best wide receiver core in the nation. He's a dark horse Heisman candidate for me.
Yeah, I think that's a bold call. I like it because you did nail it on the head there, right? The talent around him is absurd. I mean, and it's not just the wide receivers. It's the running backs. He's even got a good tight end. I mean, the sky is the limit in that offense. He just needs to win the job because, you know, they signed Kyle McCord, highly rated, you know, incoming freshman. So they'll have two guys, you know, that were near the top of their draft class, and that's, you know, that's a lot of competition, which is always a good thing. But, you know, there is that risk. But I agree with you. I think you know, if I'm in a startup, I'm gonna look at C.J. Stroud significantly and just say, okay, hopefully he gets that job and that'll pay dividends in the long run for me. The next guy, Cincinnati, Evan Prater, didn't do, you know, anything this last season, but he is a solid prospect. Don't think we're gonna see him again this season, right? I mean,
no, he's
Ritter
a prospect.
Came back.
He's a prospect. That's all he is right now. I mean, I loved his athleticism. He's got some wheels on him at the quarterback position, but he's not going to get a chance to start for another 2 years. I mean, Desmond Ritter came back, and that is his job. He was one guy that I was looking to draft in, you know, the second round of your rookie draft. He was going to go day 2, day 3 maybe in the NFL draft, and I loved his talent. And I think this is great for Desmond Ritter. You know, there was some stuff that he needed to work on, accuracy, ball placement type of deals that he needed to, you know, improve on. But, you know, Evan Prater is a hold, and hopefully you get something out of him. But it's going to take – that is a long-term investment because he's not starting this year. It's just not going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a four-star, the second-rated dual quarterback, you know, very good runner, but definitely needs to work on the throwing. So, you know, not much from Evan Prater. Even less from the next guy, Jaquindon Jackson, who was a Texas signee and then transferred to Utah. So nothing again from Jaquindon Jackson. Do you know, is he expected to be the guy there? Can people look at him maybe more in campus to Canton leagues, or is this another one where we just got to wait and see?
He was a guy that I didn't like coming in to Texas before he transferred. There was another guy that we're going to talk about here that I love to win that job, and it looks like it's going to be his, hopefully. Jaquindon Jackson has some stuff to work on. He's not a quarterback. He's an athlete, so he had some stuff that he needed to work on, and I'm not quite sure that he's got the starting job at Utah right now. I mean, you look at who they have over there. They brought in four-star recruit Peter Costelli. They had a transfer in four-star Baylor quarterbacks Charlie Brewer, and they got a transfer in Jaquindon Jackson there. So, I mean, that is a loaded quarterback room, and Jaquindon Jackson does not have the skill set to be a prototypical quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, my notes are, even when watching film, it's like, boy, there's a lot of highlights of this kid running the ball, and he can really run the ball, but he needs to work on throwing, and he might be one of those guys that he has to find another position to get on the field, and we see that, you know, all the time. It's like, he's a great athlete, and eventually the coaching staff says, well, we can't just waste a great athlete's career. We got to do something, but he's just not a quarterback. So,
I mean,
you know, I think
if I'm picking somebody right now that I think is going to win that starting job, I'm going with Baylor transfer Charlie Brewer. I just like his skill set for that program. So if you're going to make me pick one, I think it's going to be Charlie Brewer.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, the next one, and this is a guy that I know you said you were high on. I remember this from last year. Hudson Card, still at Texas, so, you know, worthy candidate there for the job. Four-star, he was the dual fourth-rated dual quarterback. My notes on him, he's got a very good arm, quick release, and he's got some nice accuracy and a good touch. And, of course, being a dual-rated quarterback, he's a good scrambler. You know, expected to take that job, you know, I'm guessing he's probably available in a lot of Devy leagues, so he might be one of those guys that, you know, if he takes over and looks really good in the 2021 season, he's going to move up people's boards significantly, you know, between now and a year from now.
Yeah, he was a guy that I was very adamant about trying to go out and get this last offseason. And unfortunately for me, a lot of the leagues that I wanted to go out and get him, you already had him on your roster. So that didn't work out too well for me. But if you're listening right now and you have the chance to go get Hudson Card, I think it's going to pay off for you. He's going to be one coming in as a starting quarterback in my eyes. He's a running quarterback, but unlike Jaquindon Jackson, he's not a run-first quarterback. I mean, he's got a great arm to pair with his rushing upside. You mentioned his ball placement and his accuracy. That was one thing that really stuck out to me. I mean, he's so smart with the football. He knows how to read the defense, which way they're going, to look off the safety, and he's just accurate with the football. He knows where to put the football, and that was something that I thought was going to translate really well to the college game. So hopefully now that he has the snaps that are going to open up, now that their running back Sam Ehlinger is heading to the NFL, I think that I think that he's got the opportunity for some snaps.
Yeah, I think he's expected to be the guy. So I think next year when we're talking about this class, he'll be higher up, and some of these other guys we might not even be talking about if they don't do anything again, which is the risk for the number seven guy, Malik Hornsby, Arkansas. He did nothing this year, and that's kind of the theme for a lot of these guys we're talking about. My notes on Hornsby, again, another four-star, he was a fifth-rated dual quarterback. He's got a good arm. And he makes it look pretty effortless when he throws the ball, but again, he's raw, and he looks even better when he's running, which is always a concern, because if you're not a good passer, you know, you're gonna look really good, and you can be really successful in college, but it takes a special kind of player to get away with that in the NFL. I mean, you eventually need to throw the ball, or you're just not going to last long, or even get the opportunity at the next level. And that's, you know, that's what we're talking about, right? And Devy, you're looking for guys that are going to hit into the NFL, and this guy is a wait and see guy for me.
Yeah, you know, what we're trying to get at here is outside, at least in my mind, I don't know if you want to speak to this, but in my mind, outside of the top three in Bryce Young, DJ Uiagalelei, and CJ Stroud, I mean, just the arm talent is not there for a lot of these guys in my eyes. I mean, very, very raw prospects. A lot of them are rushing quarterbacks. They're dual threat quarterbacks, and they have some stuff to work on when it comes to throwing the football. And Malik Hornsby is one of those guys. I mean, he's nimble. He's got great contact balance. He looks like a running back whenever he's running the ball. And he's got an arm that he can launch it downfield, but he's not a pass-first quarterback. So, I mean, just like we talked about Jaquindon Jackson, there's a lot of film and highlights about him running the ball. It was the same thing when I watched Malik Hornsby. I mean, it's just a lot of him running the football and not very much of him actually throwing it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. The next one that does have the arm talent and did get a little bit of time this last season is Harrison Bailey at Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's had all sorts of problems, so not really sure, you know, what's going to happen there. There was still kind of a guess. Is he going to stick around in Tennessee, or is he going to transfer? I haven't heard anything yet, so it sounds like he's still there. But he did get into six games, completed 48 of 68 attempts, so 70%, which is good. If you watch the games, you know, you could definitely find some opportunities for growing for Bailey. I mean, he looked, you know, he looked like a freshman, like a true freshman, and needs to improve. That said, you know, he does have the mechanics that I like. He's got the arm that I like, and I really hope he gets, you know, the chance to be the guy, and we can see what he can do moving forward, because, you know, of the guys we're talking about, he's one of the higher ones, at least when it comes to arm talent.
When he got the chance to start, his first drive for Tennessee was phenomenal. I think he went 4 for 4 for like 60 yards or 70 yards and a touchdown. I mean, phenomenal drive. And then after that, before he got benched by his head coach, he looked like a freshman. I mean, your freshman players are going to have these mistakes. I mean, it just happens in development. The game speeds up every level you go up to. And he was fresh out of high school. The game sped up for him, and he looked like a freshman. With that being said, you know, you hit the nail on the head. He's got one of the better arm talents in this class. I mean, talking about Brandon Lejeune, I know we like to mention him a lot, but he was one of Brandon Lejeune's must-have guys, and you can see why. You know, his mechanics, his footwork, his the way he drives the ball is really impressive. I mean, he can hit the back shoulder sideline throws with ease, it looks like. So he's somebody that I'm super excited about, that hopefully he gets the opportunity. If anything, for me, I'm not worried about Harrison Bailey's talent, right? I'm worried about the team situation, because when you look at all these transfers that Tennessee's had, I mean, they've lost both of their running backs. They've lost some wide receivers. I mean, their team is losing guys left and right. So I don't know if he's going to have any talent on the team to compete with.
Yeah, that is the big concern. I mean, I love the you know, story that you brought up about, you know, the first drive and then kind of went downhill from there. So basically, I immediately thought of his first drive was like that rare hole in the rare times when I play golf and I actually play the hole well and I finish with a par. You know, so I'm walking to the next tee box thinking like, all right, I got some things going on here. And then, you know, almost without exception, I will shank the crap out of that tee shot. And if I'm playing golf with my brothers, one of them will, you know, I'll just hear it right away. Back to life, back to reality. I mean, it's that's my golf game. So it was his first drive, and then nothing but downhill after that. Okay, so the next one on our list, we've got Luke Dottie from South Carolina. Again, another guy that, you know, didn't get anything going his freshman year. You know, where are you at on Dottie from South Carolina?
So I like Luke Dottie. He's a guy that I think is definitely a prospect more than he is a guy that I'm looking to go out and get. He's raw. He's athletic. So I like that about him. I like what the coach has said about him being one of the best 11 on offense. So he might not come in and be a prototypical quarterback, but he's one of those guys that, you know, we said that you needed to at least try to get him on the field. So hopefully, that is as a quarterback. It might be as a running back, as a wide receiver, maybe, because he's athletic. He's got the athleticism to be on the field, but he's just another prospect for me that I'm taking a wait and see approach on.
Yep, I would agree completely. The next guy that I am kind of optimistic on is the 10th guy on the list, so kind of rounding out the top 10 from the 24/7 rankings, Texas A&M's Haynes King. I think he has a really good opportunity to take over. He's a four-star, seventh-rated dual quarterback, verified 4.5, so this kid can run. Solid all around. I got him as being, you know, pretty accurate to all levels. Good strength, touch, and technique, and really throws on the run well. And obviously, he's mobile. You know, what do you think about Haynes King?
Yeah, all the same things that you pointed out. I mean, he's one of those guys that you were able to get late C2C freshman drafts, and I think it's going to pay dividends for you. He's not as raw a prospect as some of these other mobile quarterbacks that we're talking about. I mean, he throws the ball well, and that was what I pointed out on him when we covered him the first time. He can throw on the run well. He's pretty accurate. So he's somebody that I'm really excited to see how he progresses in that A&M offense. Because, I mean, just like some of these other teams we're talking about, the snaps are open. They're looking for a starting quarterback now. So Haynes King has the opportunity to come in and hopefully do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great point. Now, any guys left on the list that you want to bring up that you think people should be paying attention to for Debbie quarterbacks from this class?
I think you should be paying attention to Jay Butterfield from Oregon for sure. If not for anything, for the open opportunity that he's going to have. I mean, Tyler Shuck is now transferred from Oregon. He's not coming back to that team. So the opportunities are open. They're looking for a starting quarterback. And Jay Butterfield could potentially be that guy. So he's a guy that you could grab. I mean, nobody's talking about him. So he's a guy that you could potentially grab last round of your CDC drafts and, I mean, get a starting quarterback out of.
Yeah, he's a big kid. 6'6", definitely a pocket passer, you know, 4 stars, solid arm. He's good pace on the short and intermediate throws. So I really like that. I was actually looking at him just the week. It really throws a nice touch and a decent fade, which I thought was good. So, like you said, with Shuck gone, he's got all the opportunity. One of the guys that I wanted to bring up on the list is Chuba Purdy, Florida State. You know, this is a guy that I think people really were enticed by, you know, last season, and, you know, going into last season, thought that he might be, you know, something pretty good. He only got into 3 games, completed about 50% of his passes. You know, Florida State has had some struggles offensively, so nothing is a surprise there, but he throws a nice deep ball. He's mobile. He's got a pretty good arm, you know, mostly accurate, you know, I think, at least in his film work from high school. So I think he is one to look out for. He's got a good opportunity at Florida State. Any other guys that you want to bring up?
So I'm assuming there's one guy that we're not going to leave the show without talking about, and that's LSU's Max Johnson. When Miles Brennan went down from injury, he was a guy that everybody was excited for. You know, he had some big shoes to fill with Joe Burrow off to the NFL. I mean, Joe Burrow led one of the college football's most prolific offenses. And, I mean, there were some big shoes to fill. And an injury derailed his season a little bit. And Max Johnson did nothing but come in and, as a freshman, toss for 1,069 yards, 8 touchdowns to only 1 interception. So, I mean, he looked good in his limited opportunities that he played. I mean, he carved up Ole Miss to the tune of 435 yards and 3 touchdowns. Looked good against Florida. I mean, he needs to work on his accuracy, completion percentage. I mean, I think he's in the low 60s, high 50% completion percentage. So, I mean, he needs to work on that. But, you know, as all these guys, I mean, they're freshmen, right? So they've got room to learn. And I think Max Johnson's going to be an intriguing one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up. What I saw from Max Johnson was, you know, a lot of short passes, and he's relying on his skill players to get, you know, yards afterwards. And he's definitely a pocket passer. I want to see him do more, you know, on the intermediate and deep routes. You know, and I think he has the ability to develop into that. But you know, it's a good place to be. I mean, LSU has just the history of producing, you know, great, you know, NFL, you know, quality wide receivers, good offense, and so I like the opportunity. And, you know, like you said, near 60% completion, 8-1 touchdown interception ratio, you know, as a true freshman, that's good, right? That's what we want. So nothing there, but at least promise, I think, is a great thing to bring up.
And he's got a future great receiver to throw to, and Kayshon's Boutte that we talked about last week. So I'm excited for his opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. So I don't have any more guys that I really need to talk about, but I did want to get in a little bit about, you know, draft strategy when it comes to, you know, the positions and specifically quarterback. So, you know, we talked about running backs first, we talked about wide receivers. Now it's quarterbacks. You know, with each position group, we get, you know, less and less, you know, likely of producing, you know, good NFL players, you know, to get you points on your roster. And been, you know, discussing this a lot, you know, on Brandon Lejeune's Devy dashboard with all the other people in there. And Katie Flower is one that I really enjoy listening to and talking to. And she said this numerous times. And every time she says it, I'm just like, man, that's it. She's so correct. And it's just so hard to hit on young quarterbacks, you know, young tight ends is even more of a, you know, you're throwing a dart blind at a dartboard from a mile away. So when you're doing drafts, you really got to resist the temptation to go after the, you know, the shiny new object, you know, the incoming freshman that's highly rated when they're at positions where they just aren't likely to hit. I mean, you got to wait so long for them to get to your NFL roster, and then they got to hit in the NFL. And it's a lot easier or a lot more likely at running back and wide receiver than it is at quarterback. And so, you know, just thinking back about, you know, the top 10 guys plus the, you know, the three others we talked about, you know, of these top 10, you know, there's two that we absolutely love, a third guy that we are fully expecting to love, you know, after this next season, and then a couple others that we're interested in, optimistic about, you know, they're all in that kind of, okay, you got to show me something. Think about, you know, like running back, you know, how many running backs we talk about. And we talked about 15 guys that we liked, and there were, you know, we probably could have kept going, right? I mean, so I think that the long-winded point that I'm making here is I'm much more of a guy that when in my Devy leagues, I want to get good quarterbacks on my NFL roster so I don't have to worry about it from a Devy perspective. And I'm just gonna load up on running backs and wide receivers because they're gonna have, you know, higher hit rates, and even if they maybe don't look like the best NFL prospects, odds are they're gonna do something in college. And maybe if I change my mind on them, I can trade them, you know, like I did with Breece Hall. Although I still really like Breece Hall, but you know, the point is his value did nothing but increase, and so I had that opportunity to turn him into something else that I really liked. But you know, what are your thoughts on that, you know, kind of that draft strategy of you know, when you start taking a chance on quarterback versus the other positions?
So I got a few points to that. Quarterback is the hardest position to try and scout, and I challenge anybody that can tell me differently, because it's such a hard position to predict future success for. I mean, guys in NFL GM's offices are getting paid millions of dollars to figure out who the best quarterbacks are in these draft classes, and they're still getting it wrong. So, I mean, it's such a hard position to try and figure out. I think you made a great point trying to get your good young quarterbacks in the NFL and not having to worry about it for your college Devy fantasy football rosters. Because, I mean, the flip side and the other point that you didn't make that I want to make is, I mean, you look at all these top 10, top 13 guys that we just talked about. And, I mean, we can talk about all these guys. And then you have a guy, you know, all these guys are going above a guy like, for example, BYU's Zach Wilson, who people were getting in the later rounds of C2C drafts and is now a future first-round NFL pick. So, I mean, it's such a volatile position. You know, you can always start one of these guys per team, and no one knows if you're even projecting NFL success. And, you know, we can talk about all these guys, and then somebody like Zach Wilson will pop up and go as a first-round pick. So, I mean, it's such a hard position to scout. One thing that I'm kind of thinking of, and just you can speak to this, but my mind's kind of going, I mean, back to that trade that we discussed, you know, your Spencer Rattler and Isaiah Spiller for Keaton Slovis and Najee Harris. You can try to trade for guys in NFL circles. You know, if you're in a super flex league, trading for quarterbacks is always going to be hard on the NFL side of the roster. But then you go, you look at the Devy side of, you know, any of the Devy leagues that you're in, and I'm almost to the point where I want to take the approach of I'm going to wait and see which one of these guys are going to break out, and I'm going to trade for them while they're still a college football player, because yes, they're going to cost you a little bit, but it's not nearly as expensive as they're going to be once they get to your NFL roster, and you can wait to see which one of them is actually going to pop.
Yeah, absolutely. So you wait for them to show you something in college, and then you go get them, you know, unless you really got a great, you know, like if we had a great feeling, you know, on C.J. Stroud, or a great feeling on Hudson Card, you know, obviously their value is going to be lower now than it will be once they start doing really well, you know, if they do well.
And you make a good point there, because if there's one guy in this whole list of guys, I know I'm an Ohio State fan, so you're going to hear this as homerism, but if there's one guy in this list that I think that's going to increase exponentially in value, and if I'm taking my bets on anybody that's going to be a pro talent outside of Bryce Young and DJ, it's CJ Stroud. I mean, he's got all the tools to succeed. And if you can get him now for cheap, I mean, there's no way that I don't see this kid's value increasing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I honestly think the only risk there is that they had another kid coming in that's really good. I mean, other than that, like everything else is set up for CJ Stroud to succeed. So, you know, I just wanted to get into that kind of that strategy of drafting. And I think overall, you're so much better off, you know, loading up on those running backs and wide receivers. And I want to talk about tight ends next week, but instead of just focusing on 2023 tight ends, because then we'd literally talk about maybe three guys, I want to talk, you know, just tight ends in general, and we'll kind of lump them all together. But, you know, the point that we have to do that just to get enough content kind of proves the point, in that you have to wait for these guys to play before you even know if any of them are any good, and certainly if they're going to be any good in the NFL, because once they get to the NFL, then you have to wait for them to produce there.
Exactly. I mean, you're looking at 3 years after they're already on an NFL roster to even produce. I mean, you made the point, and it's a fantastic point. Every show that we're going, we're getting less and less sure about the hit rates of these guys. So, I mean, that should tell you all you need to know about drafting these guys early and as rookies. I mean, temper expectations.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and even guys that you love, you know, that's what I'm, you know, the more I play, the more I realize, God, you start, they finally get to where they're going to be rookies, and then you start hearing where they might slip in the draft, and you're like, oh, man, I've been waiting, you know, 2 years for this guy to get to the NFL, and now he's not going to be anything but a late third or a fourth-round pick, and now who knows if he's going to do anything in the NFL.
Tyler Johnson's a fantastic example of that. I mean, we loved him from Minnesota, and then he slipped in the draft, and he did produce a little bit this year, but he didn't nearly get the draft capital that we thought he was going to get.
Yeah, and, you know, the analytics guys, they still love him because of his analytics were really good if you're looking at him from that perspective. And I think the people that have him on their rosters, and I've got him in a couple leagues, and I'm just, you know, from that point alone, it's like, well, if Godwin leaves, then that's an opportunity that maybe he can step into. But, you know, you start playing that, you know, this guy has to leave and this guy has to leave in order for him to even become the number two. And then you have to know if he's going to be any, I mean, it's like, God, that's just a lot of hurdles to jump over before you start producing on my fantasy team. All right, so that's going to be it for the show. You know, like I already mentioned, we're going to talk about tight ends in our next one. Of course, you know, Shaq, our third guy, couldn't be here again, at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. You know, film room editing over at Dynasty Nerds, co-host of the Dynasty Tools podcast. So, shout out to you, Shaq. We miss you, buddy. You know, hope you come back soon. But we know how life is crazy, so hope everything's all right there. Matt, where can everybody find you, both on Twitter and all the other stuff that you're doing?
So you guys can find me on Twitter at DeviMatt. That's all one word, DeviMatt on Twitter. Love to interact with you guys. Always love reaching out and just talking football with everybody that I talk football with on Twitter. It's always a blast for me. It's a good stress relief for me, so I enjoy that opportunity to do that and a break from real life to talk that with you guys. So always reach out when you can. We just released over at Dynasty Nerds our 5.0 rookie mock. So check that out. It's a one-round rookie mock. We went three rounds, so the other two parts will be dropping hopefully soon, so you can guys check that out. We talked about past freshmen this show, so if you liked what you heard, I've got, hopefully within the next few days, a freshman-only one-round mock draft coming out for Dynasty Nerds as well. So I'd love if you guys would check that out, get to know the next stars of college football, hopefully. I'll give you a hint. I talk about some Ohio State guys in there, so you don't have to read too long to hear that. But you guys can find me at Dynasty Nerds. That's where my rankings are, as well as the Fantasy Authority.
You could literally write a Devi or a Campus to Canton article and just talk about the Ohio State players and write a full article.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just nuts. The influx of talent to that
there
school
might be
is insane.
Yeah, it might be a little envy and jealousy going on over here, the Gopher fan, but I digress. As already mentioned, my name is Skip Newton, at SkipNewton31 on the Twitter machine. I am one of the Devi team writers covering the ACC for the NFLDraftBible.com, powered by Fan Nation on Sports Illustrated. Got you covered, everything Devi, Dynasty, NFL Draft, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm working on an article, Introduction to Campus to Canton Leagues. So really excited to have that article assigned to me, and I'm about halfway through with it, so hopefully I'll get that wrapped up this weekend, and not sure when that will be scheduled to be published, but looking forward to that. Otherwise, it's nothing but rookie profiles that I've been putting out there. There's a couple that have dropped. Brevin Jordan and Javonta Williams are published now, and there'll be like a dozen others over the course of the next few weeks. Of course, lots of time between now and the draft. We are the Devi Happy Hour, part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts hosted by Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. That's on the Dynasty Happy Hour. And then the DHH Contractor, hosted by Randall Memphis Young. So he goes over one roster every week and gives you the forecast for success. So awesome, awesome podcast there. And he is at DWZ Memphis. We hope everyone has an awesome week. And if you have any feedback for us, if you have trades or ideas you want us to talk about, just let us know. DMs are always open, so we'd love to hear from you and shoot the bull. Thanks again, and we will talk to you soon. Be a good human.